Welcome, everybody. This is Dave Garamella, your philanthropist, and I am excited about this episode of our podcast. We have we've spoken to some great fundraisers. We've talked to planned giving officers, C-suite folks, and not-for-profits. But we thought it was really, really important to get the kind of expert advice, thoughts from somebody who does marketing, right? And not necessarily for not-for-profits exclusively, but sees it across the board at for-profit organizations, companies, real estate, rock and roll. He's going to tell some great, great stories. So today's guest is Shane Penley. He's the president and CEO of OutSuite Marketing and OS Social. He's a video producer, author, solution marketing strategist, and a business consultant. He speaks nationally and internationally on the importance of motivation through marketing. Forgive me, Shane, if I'm off, but I think you've produced somewhere north of 50,000 videos and everything from George Thorogren and the Destroyers to Ringling College of Art and Design. So we are just really, really excited to have somebody of your expertise and your caliber with us today. And please enlighten the philanthropist with some issues that our potential partners and current client partners may be having surrounding marketing.
Wow. Well, first and foremost, that was a tee up, man. That was beautiful. You can keep going if you want.
Good hair, good looking guy, great family, lives in state. All right. That's enough.
No, I really appreciate you having me on here. This is great. I know you and I have talked in length about marketing. We've talked about some of the things that you're doing and the clients that you have and then what you're hearing in general. And man, I'm telling you, 2020 right now and kind of wrapping up and hearing what everyone's needing to do and how we're transitioning into 21. Man, there's some powerful things on marketing right now, but the thing is that you have to market. You have got to start thinking about and lay out that
correct
of what you're doing. It might be budgeting. It might be, and people say, oh, I'm not going to market because I don't have the budget. And it's not about that. You can do a lot of things without a very large budget. You just have to make the right choices. You got to be strategic about it.
One of the issues that we get at, or not issues, but one of the questions that I'll be asked if I'm sitting with a smaller organization is, oh, if we invest in marketing, will it look like we are super flush with cash and people will not want to support us? That it's almost obnoxious.
No, I think it's kind of the opposite with it, because I think if you have, it's content really. And when you talk about people say, I'm horrible at marketing, you're not horrible at marketing. You just need a stronger structure to pull your content in.
Okay.
And if you can pull your content and lay it out, look at a brochure or a pamphlet or something that at some point in time you paid a designer to lay out, and look at the content now and say, can we recycle that content? Put it back out there. Maybe I could put it out there on a video. Maybe I can put it out there on a social media post. Maybe we could do a direct mail piece. Maybe we could do something, but go back and look at the engagement of what you might have received that was at a high rate. You know, sometimes we just take the stuff, we throw it away and we move on to the next.
Okay.
But there's ways to recycle some of the stuff that you're doing. But you know, when you look at the aesthetics of it, the look of it, the feel of it, that type of thing, all it says to, I think, the majority of people is like, okay, they're putting some time, effort, and energy into this. And I think that that's going a long way.
Our partners have the ability to really kind of change the world, whether it's, you know, healthcare, conservation, human rights, social service. And for many of them, they have limited budgets around marketing, development, advancement. If you could have one thing, what is it that we should be pressing our partners to use to promote from a marketing perspective? What's the one vehicle, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
I'll tell you what, that's a great question, because we do classes, we teach on this, and we lay things out as this MVP, right? So you think MVP, anybody can remember MVP, right? But MVP to us on a marketing level stands for media, which is like social media, video, and print. So media, video, print. And if you can MVP this, all three can work together. Meaning your print, you can do video on your print. There's all three of these things can really kind of gel.
But they all need to be connected.
They all need to be connected. And I can get an example of that. But the first and foremost, one of the things I would say is that get your social media in line. I mean, get it on point, in line. Make sure you've got your business account set up. Make sure that you've got some consistency going. That is so important. Next is video. I mean, video is king right now. So we can see it through LinkedIn. We can see it through, Facebook. We can see it through, you name the platforms, Instagram to TikTok to wherever. So with it, keep in mind that YouTube is even looking for more educational content, longer videos where people are putting some time, effort, and energy into it. But if you can take video and run some ads on that, and we're seeing a trend now where you see some videos where people, screaming into a camera and going live and doing this, that's great and all, but now we've gotten the time to put together and learn how to edit and go through the process. And I'm seeing more educational videos that are more professional type videos, breaking it down, maybe putting a little intro, a little flair, a little pizzazz to it. And I think when people see that, they're like, oh, imagine this. You see a video and you're like, oh, here's another video of a guy screaming into a camera about this. I don't have time for this. But then you see something come up and it looks really nice. It looks professionally done. You're like, okay, here's a different twist on this. Obviously, if you're willing to get up and talk about something and do it at that caliber, you know what you're saying, because you wouldn't have taken the time to put together a video like that, that is so on point. And so I think, doing that type of stuff, I call those educational videos, which educational video could be up to 2 to 3 minute video. A promo video could be something like a 45 seconds to 60 second, piece, just something to get a little, punch out there.
One of the things that I struggle is probably not the right word, is when I sit down with an organization and we're talking about kind of a strategy for a campaign or even for kind of their philanthropy program for just a fiscal year, I always try to push that stories are what you want to be sharing. Is that still the case from a marketing perspective, that you want to hear about how XYZ product makes your life better, or XYZ charity makes your life better? Do stories, for lack of a better word, sell?
Yes. I think not only do stories sell, but I also think interview style stories, as well. Just kind of like what we're doing right here, asking a few questions and kind of engaging. People want to know why, who is this person? Why are they being, interviewed? And there's a big draw to that. There's a big push to that. So, or a story they want to hear like, hey, what have you done? What's opposed to just me, I, we do this, but just like, hey, we started working with this client and this is what happened. Here are the results. All of those little things that you can do to just give a little more, incentive.
Personal. It's a personal touch, I think, too. And one of the things we promote on the kind of fundraising side of the house is peer-to-peer fundraising. And that's not just about solicitations, but people want to feel that they have some sort of a connection with the person that's representing the charity. From a marketing perspective, I would think it's the same thing.
I 100% agree, because even when it's a person running, that sector, okay, And then you think, oh yeah, Dave, Dave's a good guy, man. Every time he's putting some really strong content out there, let me hear what he has to say. He's doing great things for the community. He's doing great things for certain nonprofits. He's doing this, So I think it really does, it reflects, you know, look at your social media, look at the stuff that you're putting out there. I mean, I hate to say it, but how quick do we judge somebody on a video? Right?
It's probably like a face-to-face meeting, right? You know, first impression.
We judge them on a direct mail piece, right? I mean, those things are really important, and it's not, but those are aesthetics, and that's content, and that stuff that you're putting out there, just a general feel, look, but then also they can go back, see the kind of stuff that you're doing, what you're involved in, and know that, hey, I want to move forward with this. But it's your own consistency with what you're doing. Now, somebody that's just jumping in and throwing a bunch of money at it, that's a different thing because they may not know of it. You've got to build your base. You've got to build your foundation and kind of build up from that, stay consistent with it. But I would say MVP, like media video.
I love it. All right. I want to be an MVP. I've always wanted to be. I want to be in Cooperstown.
We've had certain clients that did not do any of it. We started them with media. Then we got them into the video. We started doing blog videos and sending them out on a weekly basis. We started watching what was happening with that. Then we started doing print. And they say, like, how do you use print and video? How do you mix those two? Well, you know, what you could do is say, I could take a flyer and say, hey, we just put together this flyer. We're really excited about it. We have this event coming up on the 30th. We'd love for you to be involved in it. Now I'm doing that on a video. I'm doing that on a Facebook Live. I'm doing that on something where I'm marketing my marketing and saying, for more information, if you didn't get one of these, let us know. And just put your address below and we'll send one out to you.
So, all right, this is a little bit of a curve. And one of the reasons I really enjoy talking with you and kind of getting your perspectives on the marketing side is that you are working in the not-for-profit space, but you also have a whole division where you're working with, like I mentioned it in the beginning, rock and roll and realtors and, kind of pharmaceutical and whatever, any kind of for-profit venture.
Yeah.
What, and this is just your opinion, I guess, are we in the not-for-profit sector too conservative, or maybe conservative is not the right word, but I almost feel like we're apologetic and we don't do a good enough job of telling people that we are amazing. We're saving lives. We just saved a rainforest. We just clothed 100 people in our community that were homeless. Those kind of things.
Yes. I deal.
Sorry.
That's heavy. Because I deal with the side where somebody is just, they want to cram it down their throat. This is their sales. This is our tactic. This is what we do. And then when you get into the not-for-profit side and you get into that sector, they don't want to overdo it, but they really want to get their message across. And I found that the two weaknesses thus far is working with not-for-profit is marketing and sales. That it could just help a little bit. And when you say sales is not a dirty word, you know? So, I mean, it is. It's communication. It's going through the process and letting them know exactly what you do and how you do it. Right. And then if you can answer the questions without them asking it, that's a big point. But maybe that's through your video. Maybe that's through, your marketing and stuff that you've done. You ask the right question, you get the right answer. And I just feel that with that, yes, if you can step aside a little bit and say, it's not that you're being pushy. It's just that you're aggressively inspired by what you're doing and you're trying to help. But you've got to ask for it, you know? So
that, well, you just hit the magic kind of button for all what we tell all of our partners is that you will not raise significant philanthropic dollars unless you ask. And you ask genuinely, but unless you put your need out there in front of someone, human nature, we're not just automatically going to write a check or issue a grant out of our foundation just because you have a great logo or you've been around for 100 years.
Yes.
You need to tell us why. So I think we answered a big, big question.
You can keep doing event after event after event after event. And you know what? There's going to come a time when you got to stop doing events and just ask for the check.
That is true. That is true. But I will say, in the midst of this kind of crazy, insidious year, I'm looking forward to putting my tux on the next time and stepping out with my wife. I think it'll be a good time.
You know what? You know, I'm going to tell you something. I just said that to my wife like last week, and she goes, "Did you just say that you want to go to an event and put a tux on?" I said, "I did."
I know. Yeah, for a long time, I was like, "I'm done. I don't want to put my tux on." But yeah. I think it'll be kind of good. Although, hopefully, it fits after the pandemic.
Here's the thing, too. I think it's cool that, you know, as we go through this and as a marketing level, I'm really intrigued constantly by the calls that we get. We do a lot of consultation. We do a lot of just masterminding. We do a lot of brainstorming. We do a lot of things, because what might work for one organization will not work for another. I mean, you've got to be extremely creative with it. What have you done? What are you looking for? What's your main objective? All of these things. And I think that a lot of everyone that we pretty much speak to is they're always let down at the end after their marketing, you know, and maybe they didn't tee it up the right way. Maybe they just put a little bit on the marketing end and they weren't excited or thrilled with the results on the back end. And I said, you know, maybe you need to focus a little more on the marketing and be a little more strategic with that. Then, you know, you'll get the better results. We look at the statistics. We look at what we do for a client. We look at how we raised that engagement, because we want to know that too. What's working? What's not working? Hey, we ran some LinkedIn ads. We started doing more things on LinkedIn, and we got a higher engagement. But it's really based upon everything with that organization and that company and what they're doing, whether it be a startup or whether it be someone that's been doing it for so long and doing the same thing. They just need a little change up, and we change that up and make them look at things a little different.
No, that's, I appreciate that. If someone, one of our listeners is, you know what, I absolutely, absolutely need to invest in kind of an MVP type strategy, and they go to their board or their CEO and they say, well, you know, what's the, you know, what are the metrics for success? Is there kind of, and granted, I know it'll depend on industry, but are there kind of benchmarks that say, you know what, if you invest in this, you should see a 1% return, a 5% return, a 10% return in 6 months, 12 months? I don't know if there are.
Right. There are, only if you've got something to base it off of. So if we, but if it's somebody that's never done anything, you know, like this, or somebody that's the other side of it. And that's where we get intrigued by it, because it's like, hey, let's jump on this. Let's see. Or it's someone that's starting up. We did a rebrand with a company that we're working with, just, you know, freshened up the look, did a facelift on the whole thing,
right.
Sent out some mail, it blew up. You know, so we were like, okay, you know, that was it. Other people was just getting their team in line, their social directors, their some of the marketing people, and just doing a consultation once a week and going through with them and saying, okay, share with us what you're doing, and going through that and just trying to just have them look at it a different way. You know, we have this thing called reverse inbox marketing.
Okay. What is that?
Reverse inbox marketing is the concept of, you know, when somebody tells you to think outside of the box,
right?
Okay. It's hard to think outside of the box when you got nothing to put in the box.
Fair enough.
Right? All right. So first, let's structure what goes in that box. If we're going to put something in that box, let's reverse engineer that, because now we find our core elements, right? So we take that and then we reverse engineer that whole process.
Right.
And with that, you go, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. But a lot of people come at us with no foundation, no base, and say, we want to think outside of the box a little bit. I'm like, let's go back to the foundational point of this and say, well, let's talk about what you currently have, right?
All right. I love that. If you can, is there, and I don't want to hear necessarily about one of your not-for-profit clients, but is there a story that you can, because we said stories sell, that you'd be willing to share specifically, you know, you've known me. I love to hear the stories about the rock and roll bands and that kind of lifestyle. Is there anything you could share with our listeners?
Well, I think
how this has worked.
Yeah, when you look at, I got to be careful with it, but
I know.
I met with a manager of a major, major band. They were in town doing a show, and I met with them and sat down. And you know, you think to yourself, it's like, man, these guys are like,
well, that's right. That was my point, why I wanted to check this out.
What do they need on my end, right?
Right.
And then when I sat and looked at it and removed my being a fan and actually just spoke one-on-one, I'm telling you, it was no different from talking to any other business, whether it be a real estate agent, whether it be a not-for-profit.
Really?
They need the same things. They're looking to see what they're, I mean, we talked about, what do you think of our merchandise? What do you think of this? Well, I mean, and you got to break everything down. It is the same conversation.
All right, I love it.
Or I don't care if you're a real estate agent, or I don't even care if you're a new person in sales, whether it be insurance, whether it be this, it's really breaking it down to a foundational level of the aesthetics of what you have, the content of what you have, and then what you're gonna do with that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've taken a new sales associate that really came from nothing and just kind of built in that story. Right.
All right.
Where they're from, what they did, how built that on the upfront. And then if you look like it, act like it, talk like it, you must be it. Like, what's your main objective here? Is it to raise money? Is it to increase sales?
Is it awareness? Sure.
You know, it's like all of those things, but it has to be. So when I go through and we look at bands and we look at these people, it's, I'm constantly blown away. I just met with a well-known promoter a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to her about how she works with her clients and a lot of celebrities and it's the same thing. I mean, it blows my mind that it is about marketing, but for some odd reason, you know, people feel that, oh, I don't want to do too much marketing because it's just really going to make me look bad. It's going to make me look like I'm really pushing too hard. And and it's like, no, well, then have a third party do this for you. Set this up, go through the process. People love stories. They love interviews. They want to get to know. They want to know that you're real, you know, and so opposed to videos, interview videos, blog right. videos, and staying consistent with it. That's the big thing.
All right. The consistency piece. That's great advice. And I, this is amazing because we, as an industry, meaning the not-for-profit industry, we shy away from this on a regular basis. We always kind of tiptoe around it. There's an understanding that it's important that if we tell our story, it will get noticed. But then we fall back onto something else. So, these are great tips. Can I ask if I have a listener that says, I'm in, I think this MVP stuff is where I want to go. Can they reach out to you via email, website, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, they can always go to outsuite.com or they can send me an email, shane@outsuite.com.
Okay.
And we do a lot of different things where we do what we call a Performa program, where we just talk to you about break everything down, showcase everything, build everything into it. Because we're also a full print house. So we do all the print, the direct mail, we do the all inclusive. I mean, do the whole thing, because that's what we're really about, is just working directly with a company, finding out what their marketing DNA is, right? And then building off of that, and then creating what we need without breaking their bank and breaking the budget on everything. And
okay,
I think that's important. I know you're going to be talking to Eric, our VP of social, and everyone.
Yeah.
And so I saved a lot. I didn't say a lot because I know some of the stuff that he's going to get into, but I think it's important that on our end is that we love what we do. And I think on the rock and roll side that you kind of hit, that they call us a boutique marketing firm.
I get that. Absolutely.
Man, you guys come in and you just start talking, and you start, like when I was working with George Thurgood and he said, man, who wants to hear these stories? I'm like, I do. And he's like, oh, okay. Right. So, and there were some of the best stories about like Dylan and the Stones and how he started and how he got how he got signed with the label that he's with. And, you know, so we do these really killer videos. And during the pandemic, I believe it got so much engagement because we had these videos, the one bourbon, one scotch and one story videos. We were interviewing him that they came back. So he flew back here and said, let's do more. Right. So
that's amazing.
And that was that goes back to what I was saying before. That's that one little thing that we just kind of tweaked, and it was like, boom, it took off. It hit. The engagement's been great. The consistency, we made sure that we posted that at 12:30 every single Friday. It was like, there was not, we didn't miss a beat.
No, I think that's really important. And I think it's important for kind of my constituents, my kind of client base, to understand that they do just amazing, amazing things. And I know I've said it probably three times in the course of the podcast, but they're saving lives. It's making the world, frankly, just a better place, whatever their kind of niche is. And they need to invest in promoting it at a different level, especially coming out of the pandemic, because it's getting harder and harder, and the competition for philanthropic dollars is harder. It's tighter than it's ever been. And I've been doing this a long time. So Shane, I appreciate everything that you've done today and sharing your expertise as we come to the end of the year. May 21 be amazing, and blessings to you and your family. Yeah, I appreciate
you so much. I appreciate you. I always enjoy talking to you, and anything that we can do as we work together, and we constantly have these Zoom calls and phone calls and so on, of just bouncing ideas back and forth.
No, I love it. I love it. So, all right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks a lot, dude.